So what just got asked a bit earlier was about loving kindness meditation. And I say, if you would like to do an object of meditation where you use your imagination more and visualizing more, that's a great one. And to evoke these, kind of heavenly emotions of loving kindness, the way we can do that is visualize somebody who is easy to send loving kindness to, someone who you like, someone who you feel close to. Start easier. And you can sort of repeat to yourself something to the effect of, may so-and-so be at peace. You know, may he be at peace. May he be at ease. May no harm come to him. And then just kind of wait and see, you know, can you connect to that emotion? It's more like connecting to the emotion, that emotion. It's not like the emotion belongs to you, but it's more like, can you access it? And now, and you have to be patient. You can't force it. So there's kind of a middle ground to be struck here where if you have too little intention, well, your mind will probably just wander. But if you have too strong of an intention, you get into a controlling mentality, you know, a forceful, you know, psychological mentality that is not going to help either. That the heart cannot be bullied into loving kindness. It's kind of a contradiction, you know what I mean? Like, loving kindness is, by its nature, there's nothing to do with bullying there, you know? It's got this peacefulness to it. So there's a balance of that. Okay. Now, for those of you, maybe you have some experience meditating, and maybe you might actually start feeling some peace coming up. You know, kind of like the happy juices are coming online. You know, maybe you feel kind of some serotonin, or, you know, these kind of like wonderful happy juices are, ooh, you feel happy, right? Now, a real easy mistake to make. Virtually everybody will actually make this mistake, but I'll warn you about it anyway. Once that begins to happen, some kind of a wow experience begins to happen, okay? And different people can have rather different wow experiences. It's not always the same experience for everyone, but it is something positive and something uplifting, something, you know, definitely above normal human emotion. And it's very tempting to say to oneself, oh boy, now I got it. I must be an arhat now, you know? I must have broken through finally to enlightenment. Yes, you know? Now I've got it, right? And as soon as one does that, you probably lost it now. Like, it is not something you ever really do get to own permanently or like seize permanently. You can't clutch it in your fist and now you have it, okay? As soon as you get into this clutchiness of mind, a clutchy mentality, that clutchiness is a form of desire. That's what desire is like. Desire is characterized by a possessiveness or a, you know, graspiness. Okay? So what a lot of people unfortunately do is once those wow experiences begin to happen, then you might say like graspiness will soon dog their heels, as it were, and like want to grasp it. Oh, it's mine now. Don't. Okay? Watch out for that. If you would like for that wow experience to continue, maybe for hours if you're fortunate, the trick is don't change your object of meditation. Whatever you were just doing to make that happen, keep doing it. You found the right thing to do. Good for you. Keep doing it. Okay, if you were doing breath, stay with the breath. If you had mindfulness to your body as your object, well, keep doing mindfulness to the body. Whatever it was you were doing, oh yes, yeah, stay with that now. You found the right thing for you to do, okay? So trust the object of meditation. Okay, the game doesn't change just because some kind of a little wow experience came up, okay? The game doesn't change. Keep doing that thing. So the emphasis here then is on keep putting in the causes and conditions for that wow experience to continue. And your object of meditation being attended to skillfully is the cause and condition. Okay? So you keep doing your object of meditation, and that it's like you continually provide fuel that way for this wow experience to keep on kind of flaring or whatever, you know? Yeah. Like, don't try to grab your arms around that flaring, happy experience, but rather keep adding fuel. Keep adding fuel. That's your causes and conditions. Okay? Which is, you know, this object of meditation that is working for you. Okay? So it's kind of counterintuitive how you kind of have to use an indirect approach to get to that wow experience. Okay, so it's a little indirect how you're focusing on the object of meditation. You're focusing on the fueling thing, the fueling kind of function of, you know, and then the kind of wow thing that happens is sort of like the resultant. Okay, and you just let that resultant happen, but it's not yours. You never do get to own it. It's never yours. Even if you achieved arhantship, it still wouldn't belong to you. Even arhants have to keep skillfully using this indirect thing, you see, of fueling it with an object of meditation. They still meditate. Even once you achieve arhantship, they don't throw meditation in the ditch once they achieve arhantship. But rather, they become masters of meditation and keep doing it, okay? And that's why they are ablaze with bliss like all the time, or whenever they wish to feel it, it's there. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's actually an interesting sutta, a rare sutta. Here's an interesting edge case about arhants. Someone approached the Buddha's kind of right-hand man named Ananda and asked Ananda, so are arhants like ablaze with bliss all the time, morning, noon, and evening, every day? And then Ananda said, well, whenever they wish to feel it, it's there. And then the guy was confused, and he's like, well, what do you mean by that, though? Like, shouldn't arhantship be something that's just, like, permanent and, you know, awesome bliss all the time, like 100%? What do you mean? Only some of the time, you know? And then Ananda said, okay, well, here's an analogy to help you understand. Imagine there's a man, and his arms and legs are cut off, okay? And they've healed, you know. Now he's just kind of got stumps for arms and legs. And, it doesn't hurt anymore. But he's got to live with no arms and legs, okay? Now, he might not be thinking 24 hours a day about his missing arms and legs, you know. That isn't necessarily on his mind all the time. However, at any time, if he asks himself the question, are my arms and legs missing? The answer is yes, every time. And he knows it instantly. Like, you know, he It's obvious and apparent right away. He has no arms and legs. Okay? And in just the same way, an arahant may not be kind of like blazing with bliss all day long every day. But whenever they choose to ask themselves the question, how liberated am I? How liberated is this heart? The liberation is right there. It's right there every time they ask themselves that question. Which is pretty awesome, you know? And that's wherever they are, no matter what's happening.
There's the joy we were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like...
not through a physical object, but just being able to transport yourself with your mind to whatever joy
yeah.
is there.
Yeah, like it's they've got utter mastery over all the happy juices they want. It's like pressing a button. Yeah. But they must use these indirect means about putting in the causes and conditions with an object of meditation. So in that sense, it is not a direct control. Do you see? It's a subtle distinction.
But that's also the learning process, isn't it?
Well, yes. Yes, this is something...
Through the learning process, then you just... You're able to trigger it yourself without having a focus.
Well, they would still have an object of meditation of some sort. Like, if you approached them and asked, you know, do you have an object of meditation? It is basically a certainty, yes, they do. And you can ask them, well, what is it? And they'll tell you, oh, well, I'm mindful of my breath, or I'm mindful of my body, or there's actually quite a grocery list of possible objects of meditation. Well, you know what I mean? There's dozens of possible objects of meditation, and they might be doing more than one thing at once. They might combine some of them and do them all at once. Yeah. I would actually argue that the farther down the path they go, you do more and more of them all at once. It becomes one combined whole,
because over time you work through each one individually, and as you become more masterful with it,
yeah,
they would start to blend together.
I was just saying to Marty the other day, have you ever seen the flavor of potato chips called All Dressed? And it's kind of all flavors of potato chips all at once. Your object of meditation becomes more and more all dressed. Yeah, you're doing breath and body and space around you and, you know, six sense bases and, you know, not self and. It all fuses, yeah. Yeah, but there are going to be arhants as well who are like, no, I'm just doing only my breath and that's enough, you know. Well, let's not go there right now. Okay, but thanks for that question. Okay, well, if we want to talk more, I'm willing to talk more at 5 for those who do not have to run off to supper right away. We are starting to push time. We're straying off the schedule a little too much, but okay. Regardless of what your object of meditation is, you must remain answerable to, yeah, but can it keep you in the present moment? So that's the yardstick that matters here. What are you going to do to keep yourself in the present moment? And it doesn't have to be any highfalutin, fancy combination of things or anything. Whatever works, works.
Well, I found that the walking meditation was far more inclusive for me that way, because I literally counted my steps the whole time. So just by counting, my mind didn't wander and I stayed right there the whole time.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's really, really simple, I know, but it was was all I needed.
Yeah. Well, if it worked, I praise you for that. Yeah. Yeah. So that's the yardstick. Did it work? Yeah. And if you do need to use, you know, counting your steps, that's fine. And then maybe down the road, you'll need to use like internal speaking less and less. But for today, it's fine. It's go ahead. It's fine. Okay. All right. So I'll stop it here. Okay.
So what time